Well, good morning.
Morning.
I'm so glad to be here with you. I'm so glad to see so many here in the auditorium with us together. I have some really dear friends that are here today that I'm so proud that they're here, and y'all know them, so just go meet them again, okay? And so anyway, I'm so glad they're here with us today. We're asking for prayers for my brother-in-law, Paul, as he gets his knee redone, and I'm asking for prayers for me over that because Paul's going to be living with us until he gets well again. Yeah. I love my brother, Paul. Yeah, and He's a great guy, and like I've told you before, a new Christian. He's only been a Christian for just a short period of time, and so we're proud of him. We're very proud of him. I want to mention Randy Kennedy has asked for our prayers for his friends that they're running through a very bad time in their lives at this time. So we want to remember them in our prayers. The number one question that I get as a preacher, number one, is what happens when we die? That's the number one question. And I get it often, sometimes multiple times during the week, I get it. And so what I want to do today is talk to you about part of that, not the full lesson, because the full lesson would take us well into our lunchtime. But I want to talk to us today about part of what happens to us when we pass from this life. And one of the things is that I want to bring up is that I've been thinking about this lesson, bringing you this lesson, for several weeks. Because I ran into a good friend of mine, and she asked me about this lesson. And the reason why she had asked me about this lesson is because she had lost her son, grandson, and husband within 6 months of each other. And so I literally stood out in the parking lot of Calico County Restaurant in Fort Smith and gave her this lesson. So I want you to hear it, and I want you to be a part of it. And I want to start today in Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. Now, what we're going to see here is the thief on the cross. That's what we're going to see. That's where we're going to be. And I can give you lessons with an S dealing with the thief on the cross. Because there's many things we need to see with this. I've even heard preachers get up and speak on the thief on the cross, and they were in error speaking about the thief on the cross. And the reason why they were in error is this, because they considered the thief on the cross living in New Testament times. Did the thief live in New Testament times? No. He lived in Old Testament times. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. It is not the New Testament. And people say, well, in my Bible, I open it up and says New Testament. No, that's man's deal. That's not God's deal. But understand this. Jesus had to live in Old Testament times. Jesus had to fulfill all of the Old Testament in order so that we would be freed from the bondage of sin and death. In order for us to have a new covenant, the old covenant had to be completed. So when people come up to you and tell you, say, well, the thief on the cross was never baptized. You're right. He wasn't. And then I even heard a preacher one time say, well, we don't know. He might have been baptized under John's baptism. But understand, John's baptism is not the same baptism we're baptized under today. Because the baptism that we're baptized under today is for the purpose of forgiveness of sin, remission of sin. We are baptized for that purpose in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Our sins are washed away, our sins are cleansed, but there's no way that the thief on the cross could have been baptized in the same manner we're baptized in. Just read Romans chapter 6. Because the old man dies and was buried, and then we're raised in the newness of life, just as Jesus Christ died, took our sins to the grave, and was raised in the newness of life, just like Jesus. So he could not have been buried in the likeness of Jesus' death and raised in the likeness of Jesus' resurrection simply because Jesus had not died yet, he had not been buried yet, and he had not been raised yet. So the baptism that he would have been baptized under, even if he was baptized under John's baptism, was for the purpose of repentance, not remission of sin. Two different things. So realize the thief on the cross was not baptized as we are baptized. So if somebody says that, just agree with them and say, yeah, you're right. But he lived under the Old Testament law, not New Testament law. Big difference. Now let's look at what Jesus said. It says, one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. What was he after? His own saving. He wasn't interested in doing what God wanted him to do, was he? He was interested in, hey, you're supposed to be the Christ. You're supposed to have all this power. You're supposed to have all this authority. So save yourself and us too. But the other responded and rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our crimes, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And then Jesus responded to him and said, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. I was not with my father when he passed away. I was 13 years old, and at that time, they wouldn't let 13-year-olds even into the room. But I was with my mother when she took her last breath. And I know exactly when it happened. May 1st, 2020, at 6:45 p.m. Sorry. And I walked up to my mom after she passed away. And I said to her, today You are with him in paradise. Now, the question I have for you to start off with is this. Where are our departed loved ones today? Where are they? And depending upon their life, they're in one of two places. And one of the greatest examples of this is the rich man and Lazarus that Jesus spoke about in Luke chapter 16. And I don't want to go through the whole story of the rich man and Lazarus because we don't have time to cover every aspect of it. But there are a few points that I want to bring out. First off, in Luke chapter 16, verse 22, now it happened that the poor man died and was carried away by the angels into Abraham's arms. Some versions say Abraham's bosom. Some versions even say paradise, which is correct. And the rich man also died and was buried. The grave is often called Hades. Hades. So therefore, the rich man went into Hades, and Lazarus, the poor man, went into Abraham's bosom. And in Hades, he raised up his eyes, being in torment. Now, this is important for us to see this. Because like I said, right now, currently, today, those who have departed from us are either in Abraham's bosom or they're in a place of torment. Hades is in a place of torment. That's where they are. Lazarus, however, was in a place of comfort, a place of joy, a place of peace. When Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise," he is saying exactly that, that he'll be with him in a place of comfort, a place of peace, a place of joy. You will be with me in paradise. In verse 28, I want you to see this. This is a place that's happening today. Because remember the rich man responded and he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus back so that he can go and tell my five brothers and they will not come into this place. And of course, Abraham responded and says, they've got Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But the rich man said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone came back from the dead, then they would repent. And the response was, no, if they won't hear them, even if someone comes back from the dead, they're still not going to repent. Remember when Jesus was on the cross, and you've got all the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priests and whatnot who condemned Jesus to death. They're walking in front of the cross and they're wagging their heads, saying, others he could save, but he himself he could not save. Come down from the cross and then we will believe. If Jesus would have come down from the cross And do not think at any time that Jesus did not have the power to do that. Remember in the garden, he told Peter, "Do you not know that I have the power to call down 12 legions of angels, 12 armies of angels? In other words, do you not know that I can stop this at any time I want to?" But he didn't. Why? Because not my will, but thy will be done. God's will is what he was after. God's will is what we should be after today. And Father Abraham was right, said, no, if they're not going to listen to them, then even if someone comes back from the dead, they're not going to hear him. If Jesus would have called down his 12 legions of angels to pull him down off the cross, what would the Pharisees and Sadducees have done? They'd have grabbed him and put him back up there. They're not going to believe. Their hearts were hardened. They would not listen to the word of God. Even if it's from somebody from the grave, it's not going to happen. Because they won't listen. Do you know people like that today? Yes, I do. I sure do. I know a lot of people like that today that will not listen, even though I might go to them and I might open up the Bible and I say, well, here's what the Bible says. And I've had people say, well, that's your interpretation. I say, well, how would you interpret it? You know, here's what it says. I mean, there's no interpretation here. And then I've heard this too from many people. Well, my preacher says this. And I've responded and I said, it doesn't matter what your preacher says. What matters is what the scripture says. Yes, the thief on the cross wasn't baptized, and you can use that all you want to in trying to prove to me you don't have to be baptized to get to heaven, but you are wrong. You have to be baptized. It is a requirement. The rich man had 5 brothers, and he asked Father Abraham to send Lazarus back from the dead in order so that they would not come to this place. Let me tell you something. If you have family members that are in that place today, they would tell you right now that under no circumstance do you want to be here. They would tell you, listen to the words of God. They would tell you to repent because you don't want to be here. They would be upfront and honest. Maybe for the first time. You don't want to come to this place. And that's exactly what the rich man wanted for his brothers. Now, the Bible doesn't teach us what happened to the 5 brothers. We all have pretty good ideas. As Abraham said, if they won't hear them, then they're not going to hear anybody. Now, what is paradise? What is it? It's not heaven. Okay? It's not heaven. I've mentioned a couple of times that it is a place of comfort. It is a place of joy. It is a place of rest. It's not heaven. I've got a very good verse in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 that help explain exactly what paradise is. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 says this, "The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who overcomes, I will grant to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Now, the Jews, back during Jesus' time, had a terminology that they used for paradise. And the terminology which they used was this: it is the king's garden. So by using that same terminology that the Jews used at that time, when Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise," he's saying, "Today you will be with me in the king's garden." But the Jews also took it a little step further. And they said these words: "If you have been requested to be in the king's garden, then what you are is an honored guest in the king's garden." An honored guest in the king's garden. What better place could you be? An honored guest. Now, I want to tell you the story of this young lady that I ran into. As I was getting up from our table to go check out there at Calico County, I saw this lady in line to check out. And she was with her youngest son. I had the honor, and it was an honor, I had the honor to coach both her older son and her younger son in football when I was coaching football at Greenwood. Now, some of you already know who I'm talking about, but I'm not going to say their name. I had the honor because this was a fine family. Fine people. Good people. Love being around them. Her son and her grandson were killed in a car accident. I knew them well. And when I saw her in line, I started walking towards her immediately, and she looked up at me and she saw me and she came to me and we both hugged each other. And I asked her, I said, "How are you doing?" She said, "Well, what would you think?" I said, "I know. I know. This is a very difficult time for you." She said, "Yes, it is." And I stood there with her and her other son, and me and her other son talked about him playing defensive tackle. And her older son actually played offensive tackle until his senior year, and then we moved him to quarterback. He couldn't run out of sight in 2 days, but we had him at quarterback because he had a good throwing arm. And he was smart. He worked hard. Just exactly the type of kid you'd want. And this young man went to church. He was a deacon in his church. He taught Bible classes. And his young son, who was also killed in the car accident, was also someone who had just begun leading song services, leading prayer in church. He had just started. And as we cashed out and came outside, our conversation continued. And she looked at me and she said to me, she said, with all that they were doing and all the good that they could do, she said, why did God choose to take them at this time? And I said, I know why. She said, you do? I said, yep, I do. I said, what's God's goal for every person? That none should what? Perish and all come to repentance. God's goal for every person in this room is that none of you should perish, but all of you come to repentance, and all of you have a home with Him in eternity. And I told her, I said, because that's His goal, God saw them and said, okay, you're ready. Come home. Come be with me as an honored guest in my garden. And she told me, she said, I wish that I had seen you and talked to you before. And I said to her, I said, well, why is that? And she said, because I never thought of it that way. And I said, this is the way you need to think about it. God brought them home. And then she said to me just before we left and parted, we'd been out in the parking lot for a good 30 minutes. She said to me just before we left and parted, she said, I just wish that they could come back and I could see them at least one more time. I just wish I could. And I said to her, I said, no. I said, because even if they could come back, they would much rather you come to them. I said, Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. If they could come back, they wouldn't, but they want you to come there. Be with them. Just like the rich man prayed to Father Abraham and said, send Lazarus back so that my brothers won't come here. Realize Lazarus wanted his brothers, his sisters, his family to come to where he is today. So my point to you today is this. In our life here on this earth, we need to strive to be where those who have gone on before us are. We need to strive to be the honored guest of the King in His garden. And if we are that honored guest, we will want everyone to come to be where we are. There is no better place. So as you walk the face of this earth, realize what awaits for you. Realize what's there. And look forward to that great family reunion when we all become honored guests of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or a need to be baptized, we ask you to come while together we stand and sing.